We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We are partakers in the work of God because God has made himself available to us through Jesus Christ by grace through faith. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarlane, and this is Exploring the Word, where we really do explore the Word of God. And so, Alex, I know you've had Bible camp and going good, but are you on the road between where you are, were, and where you need to be?
Yeah, kind of. And just by Brent Austin and the technology, Matt Murphy helping me get straight here, we think we can make it work. But well, I'm so glad to be with you and so glad to be in the book of Hebrews.
Well, Alex, we appreciate you. I know it's not always easy for you to make those connections and do what all you do, but it's a joy to do that and know what God's using you. But today we have a guest, so we want to do that quickly because, you know, our guests, they like to come on, but sometimes they've got other things to do. And our guest today, I know she has other things to do because she is a mama. It is one of the people I dearly love and thank God for, Riley Wildman. Riley, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Bert. Thank you so much for having me this afternoon. And hey, Alex, how are you doing? You traveling?
I'm blessed. It's good to have you on, Riley.
And Thank you so much.
Okay, the reason we've got Riley on, there's a department in the AFA ministry called the Foundation. Now, again, it's not talking about the foundation of the building, but it is talking about the foundation of having a financial structure that you can depend on. So, Riley, tell us a little bit about the AFA Foundation.
Yes, sir, Bert. Thank you so much. Yeah, I want to tell your listeners about the foundation. A lot of people may not realize, but I'm the director of the AFA Foundation and the ministry. We just have several tools that make up AFA and the AFA Foundation. I would love to tell your listeners a little bit about that. One of our tools that we have is a charitable gift annuity, and that is just simply, Bert, a contract between American Family Association and the donor where they can receive income coming back to them for the rest of their life. Let me also back up a little bit and tell y'all that it is a minimum amount of $2,000 or anything above that that they can give to the ministry and in return receive permanent income coming back to them for their life. And Bert, when they pass away, anything left over is a gift back to American Family Association, American Family Radio to continue on the work of the ministry. So that is one of the tools that we have, as well as a stock outright gift, stock donation that people can give to the ministry, as well as just an IRA rollover. We have a new tool that is just a traditional IRA that you can give to American Family Association. And if you're 70 and a half or above, you can actually take that traditional IRA and receive a full 100% tax deduction. So those are three of the tools, so to speak, in the foundation that we do and that we work closely with.
Oh, Alex, when we hear this and know what's going on, it lets us know that this is for our own goal in ministry. In other words, this is looking down. This is why the foundation is there, so that even in the future, we have this income that we have to come in to continue doing what God's called us to do, Alex.
Amen. Riley, you're doing a great work. And let me just say, traveling as I do, I meet people all over the country that love the work of AFA. And I think it's very exciting that there's an opportunity. People can invest and be winning souls and promoting the biblical worldview throughout their life and even after they've gone on. This is a wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Alex. I appreciate that.
Let's do this real quickly. Two more things before you go. How can they contact if someone's out there and they say, I've been looking for an opportunity to use this money that God has allowed me to have, but I want to, I need some of it for future, you know, that income that's assured, but I would love to have it set up so the rest of it could be left for a ministry like AFA. How can they contact you, Riley?
Yes, Bert. There's two or three ways that they can contact us. One by phone. The number that I'll give out to your listeners is 800-326-4543. Again, 800-326-4543, extension 345. And they can also visit our website at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. And we also are on LinkedIn now, social media platform, as well as Facebook. So you can just reach us out that way on those two other platforms.
Well, I've got to ask this, too. Your dad asked you on one of the commercials for Foundation, if they call, will all of them have a Southern accent, okay?
Yes, sir. We hear that spot a lot, and we get a laugh out of that. A lot of people are enjoying hearing that spot. Yes, you'll get a Southern accent and talk to Chelsea or I or Miss Jessica.
Well, on Exploring the Word, when Alex and I do the program, they get a male Southern accent, so they're used to that.
Yes.
Alex, isn't it great to have ministries like this and have people like Riley and Chelsea being there so gracious and so knowledgeable to take care of things like this?
Exactly. And, you know, the ministries of the American Family Association have grown. God is using this ministry in such a mighty way, publishing, filmmaking, broadcasting, events, conferences, online. And this is just such a worthy work. And I thank God that people everywhere across America are supporting it. Riley, you're going to be in our prayers, sister, as you help build this foundation.
Thank you so much, Alex. And thank you so much, Bert. And thank y'all so much for having me on this afternoon.
Well, thank you. Go back to being that mother you need to be. Okay, Riley?
Yes, sir. I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Alex, you know, today we're in Hebrews, and connecting that with the foundation, Paul was, or the writer, whoever the writer is, and every once in a while I'll just say Paul because I was taught that younger until I found out we don't know exactly who wrote it, but the writer of the book of Hebrews has a legacy of following Jesus Christ, and the people he's writing to are saying, you know, I know I've trusted Christ, but Judaism was okay, and we didn't have to suffer as much being under Judaism as we are under the way, being Christians. And Paul was writing them saying, no, you've got a legacy, and you need to stay with it. You stay with Christ. That is exactly what Hebrews is trying to get these people who are writing, he's writing to stay with Christ. I'd say he wants us to stay with Christ today, don't you?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, in Hebrews 4:14, and we'll go back a little bit, but it talks about our following Jesus, and it says that we are, quote, to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. And we're to do that.
Okay. Yeah, we're having trouble. Alex is calling in, and through a mechanism, and sometimes he has some staggering comments, and so we're working on making sure of that. But 4:14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession needs to hold fast. And matter of fact, we were talking about that confession earlier yesterday when we talked about our confession is in Christ. In Christ alone, no one else, and it is one singular, not two or three confessions, but a confession in Jesus Christ. Alex, I'm taking a chance. Are you there now? No, he is not. So anyway, we'll see what we can do. here. Let's go back, if all of us, to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And this is from the Old Testament. Matter of fact, it's in Psalm 95. And it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, again, we're introduced to this. This is Psalm 95. And notice what the writer of Hebrews does. He says, the Holy Spirit says, this is the power of the Word of God. The Word of God was given by men through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, we find in the New Testament, it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Not only did they speak, but they wrote. And we have a sure word called the Bible. And here it says, notice, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial. Now, it's talking about two different things, two different dates. Today is the day that you make sure that you're ready for. Today, if you will hear his voice, God is speaking today. He is having his way. Do not harden your heart as it did in the rebellion. Now, the rebellion was at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Alex, we're back in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and I've read 7 through 11. And we're talking about in the day of rebellion at Kadesh Barnea, when they should have gone in, but the majority said, no, we're not going in, we're going to stay. And listen, that when you rebel against God, even as believers, you're going to have some circumstances that's not going to go your way. You know, they hardened their heart, and they did their own thing rather than what God told them to do, didn't they?
Well, verse 10 says they did not know God's ways. You know, isn't that something? That they were to trust God at Kadesh Barnea and possess the land, but for some it was fear, for some disobedience, but they didn't trust God and obey, did they?
They did not, and that's a great way. They do not know God's way because they don't know his ways. You know, learning how God works to a degree. Now, his ways are past finding out, but we know the way of salvation. We know the way of the Word of God. We know the way of the Holy Spirit leading us. But yet, Alex, I found out in my own personal life, I've got to spend time with God to learn more of his ways or how he works. Have you experienced that as well?
Absolutely. You do. It's a relationship. And look at verse 11 of Hebrews 3. And you don't hear this preached on much, but God said, I swore in my wrath that they will not enter into my rest. Now, they should have known. God did the plagues of Egypt, delivered them from Pharaoh. He could have delivered them from the giants of the land. And we look at the Israelites in the wilderness, and we say, well, wow, they should have just remembered how powerfully God rescued them out of Egypt. But in a way, we need to remember how God powerfully resurrected Jesus from the dead, paid all our sin debt on the cross. I mean, just like we think they should have trusted God, well, we have every reason to trust the Lord as well, don't we?
We really do. And that wrath of God, I couldn't help but think about the song the Gettys wrote, In Christ Alone, God's wrath was satisfied. Listen, I want to tell you, only through Jesus Christ can you have that relationship where God's anger against sin, not the sinner, is satisfied. This is Bert and Alex on Exploring the Word, and we'll be back with more right after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and we invite you to follow along with us in Hebrews chapter 3. And, you know, Bert, we are talking about admonition, don't harden your heart. Verse 10 says they erred, E-R-R, they committed error in their heart, and they did not know God's ways. And then verse 12 says that we are to take heed that, notice, an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Bert, doesn't, you know, being out of the will of God, drifting away from God, not being grateful, not being obedient, it all emanates from unbelief, doesn't it?
It really does, Alex, and those are powerful. And you notice the whole thing in verse 19, that chapter closes out with that when it says, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Now,
unbelief.
The unbelief occurred at Kadesh Barnea, for as the Israelites were concerned, where 12 spies went in, and they came back with a report. 10 came back with what is called an evil report. And then Caleb and Joshua said, listen, yes, there's giants in the land. Yes, there's walled cities in the land. Yes, that is true. There's great warriors in the land. But our God is bigger. Now, here's what I say. Belief does not deny reality. That's so important. What unbelief does is look at reality and deny God. Alex, that God can do it. You remember when David was facing Goliath, people, they were scared. Even his brothers, King Saul, they didn't want to go out there and fight Goliath. That was the reality. He was close to 9 feet tall. He was strong. He was big. He was some kind of obstacle. But David saw God. God had delivered the lion, the bear into my hand. He'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. I think David said he's so big, I can't miss him, you know?
And now that's faith, isn't it?
It is. And so what we want to do, real Christians don't deny reality that we live in this world, that sin is real. We dwell in reality. But we also dwell in knowing and the knowledge of God, and that's what you were talking about. Don't harden your heart. Know God and know his ways, Alex. And he uses that illustration for the Hebrews, and now God uses the illustration of the Old Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, for us living today. We need to know our God and follow him, don't we?
We do. You know, when I was in school at Liberty University, Dr. Jerry Falwell, he's in heaven now, but he would always talk about, he would say, attempt great things for God, believe great things from God. And, I mean, this was back in the day when Liberty was struggling to even stay alive. And, of course, you know, that faith and that obedience God honored. But, Bert, I believe everybody listening has things that God wants to do in and through their life. And, you know, maybe it's something in your church or an outreach program or winning people to Christ or, you know, building your family on the foundation of a biblical worldview or trusting God with your substance. but we are to not just be content and we're saved and we just live our life and go on our merry way. No, we are to continually be growing and trusting God for more and more things, aren't we?
We really are. And we do trust God. Don't depart from that. When you depart in unbelief, in other words, it's not talking about losing your salvation. When you're saying, okay, I don't believe I can make it. God, you know, I'm not sure God would help me to do this, which I know God has me to do. You're departing from following God. You're going your way. You're doing your thing. And then in verse 13, the writer says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When you say no to God, when you do not do what God says and you have unbelief, your heart is not tender, Alex. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. When you start,
John 10:14.
Yeah, when you start ignoring that voice that God is speaking to you through his word, through the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and you say no, your heart develops a hardness of not hearing the things of God and from God. So you want to start now. We want to start now. God, what are you saying? The Bible says, early will I seek thee. Alex, I think it's a wise thing of a morning to report in through the word of God, through the prayers, and say, God, here I am. I've told this before. Usually when I go to the mirror and I look in the mirror every morning, I say, Private Harper reporting for duty, sir.
Amen. And I do the same thing.
I want to do that. I want to know where he is and where he wants us to go so we can know his ways, so we can know his way. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get across to those who are saying, you know, it'd be a lot easier if we went back to, you know, we would know Christ, but we're going to do it in the Jewish way. We're not going to stay in this legacy of Christ. And the writer said, no, stay with Christ all the way. Don't depart.
Bert, did you ever see this book many years ago called The Seven Last Words of the Church?
Yes.
And
we've never done it this way before.
But we've never done it this way before. Let me just say this, folks, and I'm as conservative, traditional, even sentimental as it gets. But in your church, don't stand in the way of progress, as long as that's gospel progress. Bert, when I was a young believer at Macedonia Baptist, outside of Greensboro, North Carolina, the church where I got saved, and it's a great church. I'm not being critical, but the pastor retired, and then along came Mark Sink. He's in heaven now, but he was part-time, and after just a couple of months, they wanted to bring him on full-time. And I was a brand-new Christian. I mean, I didn't know anything about how church worked, really. I'd just gotten saved. But the church, this was a time, I mean, the church was running 175 on Sunday, which is good. And the church had money, and it was time to vote to bring the pastor on full time. And they did, but it was a little bit of a struggle. And I'll never forget, I overheard after a business meeting, I overheard one man say to another man, he said, I don't care what it is, I always vote no on everything just on principle. And the other guy kind of laughed. And I remember thinking, well, that's not wise. Just now, sometimes you do vote no, but sometimes you're supposed to vote yes. And let me just say, when verse 15 says, when you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of provocation. And I guess my point is, look, if it's going to win people to Christ and it's going to make disciples and it may stretch our faith, don't be the negative Nelly that just says no about everything. We need churches that, sure, we're supposed to be, you know, responsible and all that. But, Bert, I just think that the church is to be walking by faith, aggressively going forward, not just standing still. You read me.
I'll read you, and I vote yes for that statement. Let's do something here, Alex. Let's go back to the Old Testament event that the writer of Hebrew is referring to. Again, I've referred to it two times, Kadesh Barnea, and they take a vote, quote, and the majority, a big majority, vote, no, we're not going to go in. What was the price that they paid for that no vote, for that unbelief?
40 years in the wilderness.
40 years in the wilderness when they could have gone into the land, had victory, and had homes, had vineyards that they did not plant, have animals that they brought with them, and have pasture land, and they voted to stay wandering in the wilderness. Now, Alex, that man that said he voted no on principle, I wonder what principle he was living by, brother.
Exactly. Because, you know, bold faith, courageous faith will stretch you. And there's going to be sacrifice. Anything worthwhile is going to take commitment. But disobedience and unbelief is far more expensive and time-consuming, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And again, verse 17 refers to that, Alex. I want to read it again. We're in chapter 3. May get into chapter 4 because we're talking about the rest. But 17, now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Now, what a way to remind these Hebrews of what they're in danger of. He's not writing this just for them to have a Bible lesson. He's reminding them of the price that this people paid by not believing God. So he is saying to these people who are he's writing, you need to believe God. You've trusted Christ. You stay with Christ. You don't need to go back to the Jewish principles and live. And no, you need to stay with Christ. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Unbelief and disobedience go hand in hand, don't they, Alex?
They do. One of our favorite people, folks, and we'd love to mention his name, is Adrian Rogers.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And I remember Adrian Rogers, he said, partial obedience is complete disobedience, you know? And so when it talks about in 18 and 19, those that, quote, did not enter his rest because of their unbelief, you know, Bert, you just can't partially follow Jesus. You've got to fully trust him to be saved, fully trust him to grow and to experience all the blessings. And he has blessings. I know you as a pastor, and I've, in being an evangelist, and, you know, it stretches my faith every time I sign on the dotted line to rent a Coliseum. And yet we've done it quite a number of times. But even though it stretches us, God carries us. God carried them through the wilderness and ultimately to the promised land. But Bert, I really think that the journey of faith is really a glorious opportunity to see the faithfulness and strength of God.
Amen, Alex. It is. He is faithful even when we are not. He is God. And we need to know that. Will he try us? Yes. You was talking about Adrian Rogers and some of the things. He was just a great, great preacher. If you have the opportunity, if you had never heard him, find out, listen to one of his sermons. I don't care which sermon it is, by Adrian Rogers.
They're all good.
He was that powerful, that biblical. But he would talk about it. If our faith can't be tested, it cannot be trusted. So God is going to ask us to step out in faith so that we can know. God already knows. That's what we were talking about a little bit yesterday, sovereignty. Sovereignty is God knowing. So God knows about our faith. He knows. But we need to be tested to see if we can trust God. Are we going to trust God and go into the land and occupy the land that God's given us? That's what the people at Kadesh Barnea, the Hebrews that were writing, that the writer of Hebrews is writing to, He said, can you trust God to take care of you by following me and not go back to Judaism? Today, our God is saying, can you trust me through the difficult times that we're going through in America, when a lot of America is turning away? They're turning away from the church. They're turning away from the Word of God. And even those in the church are turning away from the Word of God, where they don't know what marriage is. They don't know what our identity is. They're saying it can be anything. Mm. And so, no, we stay with God, not in a hateful way, not in a belligerent way. We trust God. And because of that trust, we do our best to obey Him and follow Him and enter into this rest. Now, Alex, we got about 3 minutes left before we start taking questions. And that number, if you want to call and have a question today, a Bible question, it is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The lines are open now. Richard's going to take that call if you got a question. But let's talk about this rest real quickly. I want to set it up and then you take it away. You have God's Sabbath rest, that He rested on the seventh day and looked at all that He had made. But we have a salvation rest. When we come into Christ, He gives us a rest. But we also have what is called a future rest, and that is in heaven. So when you talk about, are you resting in God? Are you trusting Him? Have you submitted to His rest and you have victory? Are you looking forward to a time in your life where there will be no more tears, no more illness, no more death? That's a future rest. So, Alex, it says here, they did not enter into their rest. They wandered in 40 years, didn't they?
They did. And verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 4, interestingly, Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear. Now, you know, it's been talking about believing God and, you know, don't fear but trust God. But there is a fear, and that fear is missing out on God's will, disobedience. And I've often said this, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is Hebrews 4:2, talking about the unbelievers. It said, the word of God preached did not profit them. Have you noticed that phrase there in verse 2, Bert?
That is.
Isn't that sad?
That is sad. Alex,
and
go ahead.
Folks, you've heard about Jesus. He's as close by as a prayer. God has things for your life. God has a plan for you beyond anything you could imagine. Believe Him for it. Obey Him for it. Don't be someone who, having heard the Word of God, turns away and it did not profit you.
The Word of God is settled in heaven. Let it be settled in your heart and follow God.
Amen.
That number, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you today.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Pastor Katsu serves in communist China. He's been beaten in jail 25 times over the course of his ministry. They beat him so severely last time he could not get up for about a week, but they let him go, told him to never speak of Jesus again. But about a week later, a knock came on his door. It was Hayo, the bitter atheist, who had a question that burned in his heart all week. How were you at such peace when we were beating you? So Katsu would open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, lead this bitter atheist to faith in Christ. Together, they have witnessed more than 1,000 coming to Christ there in communist China, where it is nearly impossible to find a Bible. And so in this spring season, AFR and Bible League have teamed up to bless 16,000 Bibleless believers. You've done that for 7,000. We have 9,000 to go by June 30th. So at $5 a Bible, $60 sends 12. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? That's 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or give at sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Have you ever seen one of those track and field events where the runner starts out in blazing fashion, leading the pack for the majority of the race, only to stumble just before reaching the finish line? Starting the race well and running well are vitally important, but if we don't finish the race well, all else can be overthrown. The Apostle Paul penned those words, having fought the good fight, right on to the end as he faced imminent execution under Nero's sword. Let us all, brothers and sisters, set our courses to finish well.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Word. Oh, I love that song. He is the God of all creation. Hey, the number, if you've got a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And hey, let me tell you about something that I'm kind of excited about. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be guest hosting the Hamilton Corner. Now, that's 5 to 6 Central Time, 6 to 7 East Coast Time. And Bert, I'm doing a show on evangelism, and I'm going to have two very, very special guests when I'm sitting in for Abe Hamilton tomorrow night. One is Mark Middleburg. He's an evangelism expert. He wrote a book called Becoming a Contagious Christian. But the other, and I'm so excited, first time I've ever interviewed this person, Rebecca Manley Pippert. Now, she wrote a book, and it's one of the greatest book titles, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World.
Yes.
Bert, do you remember that book?
Yeah, I sure do. I do, yes. I remember the title of the book more than I do hers name, so that's great, Alex. That should be awesome.
And that book is now in like 28 languages, but tomorrow night on the Hamilton Corner, I invite you to tune in. It's a show that I'm dedicating to evangelism and just the basics of what it means to lead somebody to Christ. Because, Bert, I just think that should be the priority for every Christian and every church.
Amen. Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. That's tomorrow night. That's 5 o'clock Central Time, Hamilton Corner. Well, our lines are full, so let's see how many questions we can answer today. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to John. John, thank you for calling. John, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, John.
Yes, thank you. In today's Bible reading, it was 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and David commits a sin by taking a census. Can you explain that?
Okay. Why do you take a census? Well, the reason he was finding out his war power, his army power, his military power. And God had told him, you can't trust in chariots and horses. You better trust in me. Alex, does that have anything to do with what David did?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with taking an inventory, but he was trusting his physical
armaments, his horses, his men, his weapons, rather than trusting God. And, you know, it's interesting. When Jesus was born, it says that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. You know, in the ancient world, kings had what was called a rationarium, and they would number how many citizens, how many soldiers. But see, Israel and King David were to trust God, not walk by sight, but by faith. And Bert, I believe that's why David was reprimanded, because he was trusting by sight, not walking by faith.
You mean they were not redrawing the lines for representatives to represent them in Congress? They didn't have to do that every
time. It wasn't redistricting.
That's right. It was not. So, John, seriously, we hope that helps. I understand that the first time that I read that, and then I started looking at, like Alex and I've said, I said, okay, he was not trusting God for that. And he confessed his sin later on in verse 8. He called it foolishly. And so not trusting in God is foolish. So let's go to Alabama and talk to Dee. Dee, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, why is the word Lord all caps?
In some places? Yeah. You'll find Lord capitalized and all. It's referring to the Godhead. And then L, capital L, little O-R-D, that's something different. And then you'll also find a little L-O-R-D when it's talking about a boss over you or someone. Alex, go ahead and fill that out.
Yeah, you know, whenever you see Lord, L-O-R-D, in all caps, that is the name in the original document, like in the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek, for Almighty God. That's like Yahweh God, the Almighty, the highest of the high. And so when the Bible was put into English, they would put it in all caps to denote that this was the proper name for Almighty God. And do you know, the Bible uses Lord in several senses, like in the New Testament, when they would say, somebody would say to Jesus, you know, Lord, who is he? Like the woman at the well, Lord, who is he that I should know him? And that's L-O-R-D, capital L, not because Jesus isn't the Lord, he is, but the recording of that conversation was that maybe the woman at the well didn't immediately know it until Jesus said, you know, I that speak unto thee am he. And then finally, when it's all lowercase, L-O-R-D, in the King James at least, Bert, as you know, it might refer to somebody in a position of authority, you know, not necessarily Jesus or Almighty God, but, you know, an overseer of a piece of land or an overseer of some employees would be viewed as a lord. You know, in England, in Parliament, they still talk about the Lord Proprietors, not in a sense of deity, but in a sense of leadership and oversight.
Okay. I hope that helps, Dee. And when you understand that, it helps you to read the Bible a little clearer in understanding. So thank you for your call. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Lynn. Lynn, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to ask, nowadays, excuse me, you hear the word anxiety so much, especially with a lot of young girls. And I want to know, in the Bible, what word is usually used for that? I don't think it is anxiety, is it?
Okay. If you have your Bibles, Lynn, turn to Psalm 127, and you will find, I think, the best scripture that will help you with that. And in the King James, it says fret. And this is one of my... I love Psalm 127. It's one of my favorites, I have to admit. And it is great that you trust the Lord. And then Psalm 37 is another one, and it talks about fretting for the Lord. Listen to this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also with him. He shall bring it to pass. And then before it says that, Alex, it says concerning fret, Do not fret because of evildoers. Don't have anxiety because of evildoers. So I think Psalm 37 and then 127 is about the home, but I think it speaks to that. But Psalm 37 is clear on anxiety, isn't it, Alex?
It is. You know, Bert, if there's a New Testament verse that I've often thought about, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Like you say, you know, fretting or caring, that speaks about an emotional fear that grips us. You know, Bert, I was just reading today that they say since the time of COVID, depression, stress, anxiety, hopelessness has increased 150% among all age groups. And all the more reason that we really do need the Lord in our life, because as the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it?
It really does. So Lynn, I think Psalm 37 about that fret and what Alex gave you, but fret, and it's evildoers and those that you don't see them doing it, and we fret over those things, and we worry. It stems from worry, and then we're fretting, and we have issues over it. So we hope that helps. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Robert. Robert,
how you doing?
Go right ahead. Doing good.
Good. Hey, look, I love listening to y'all's show, and I got a question concerning to the fourth chapter of Revelation, and it speaks of the seven spirits of God, and I'm not sure what that is, because I mean, I know what the Holy Spirit is and the gifts of the Spirit, but I never have heard the seven spirits of God going out from the
book. Okay. Hey, Robert, you're not the only one that's Alex, I've read several commentaries concerning that, and so you know what? I've heard several explanations, but I think it's completeness of how God's Spirit works in every way. What would you say?
Yeah, you know, I've read this too, that I've heard commentators talk about the work of God, creation, salvation, conviction, redemption. And then I've had others who said it refers to the perfection of God. You know, seven is the number of completeness. God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And, you know, the number of man is six because we're not complete till we're in Christ. Colossians 1 says we're complete in Christ. So there's only one God. We know that from Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4. We know there's one God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. Bert, I guess I'm a little reluctant to read too much into it, although we know that God is perfect and complete and doesn't need anything outside of himself. And I think the most sure way we can understand that Revelation passage is to understand it as the completeness and unity of God.
I would say so. And Robert, again, I have two or three things that folks have called in today. That's true. It's issues that others have. And some of the things in the Word of God, it speaks, and we will have to understand. We may not understand it all, but it is not going to contradict itself. So God is the Holy Spirit, but he is complete. And I agree with Alex. I think that's what it's talking about. Now, he works in different ways of conviction and then comfort. The same Holy Spirit convicts, also comforts. And so he's complete in his work. I think it's pretty clear, and we know that. Robert, thank you for that good question. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Debbie. Thank you for calling, Debbie.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
So what do you do when it hurts to pray? If things are so hard, and like my daughter was telling me, I tell her to go and pray, and I do the same thing, and it just hurts too much when you pray, so you stop praying because you don't want to hurt.
Okay, let me give you a biblical something to read. I did the same for Lynn about this. Mark chapter 2, and we'll find out that there was this man who was a paralytic, and he could not get to Jesus. He just could not. He was unable. But he had four friends. And those four friends was able to take his bed, one on each corner, and they just couldn't get through the crowd. It was too crowded. And they went to the roof, and they let him down before Jesus. There are some times in our lives, Alex, I don't know if you've been there. It's hard to pray, hard to know what to pray. Praise God, and this is one reason you want to be in a small group, in a church. You have those that can take you to the Father until you keep trying, Debbie, but there's those that can lift you up. Alex, what else would you say to Debbie?
Well, you know, Paul writes about how the Holy Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And there are times, you know, not only physically but psychologically, we're hurting. Even the most godly born-again Christians can go through times of pain and suffering. But the Bible says, you know, weeping endureth for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hey. Sometimes you just have to throw yourself into the arms of Jesus and weep. But morning comes, doesn't it?
It really does. When we trust you. He understands our tears. Debbie, he understands that he's not acquainted. Jesus was acquainted in all of our difficulties. Doesn't mean he sinned or anything, but he knows. And we have an advocate with a Father. And you can just go to him, Debbie, and say, Lord, I need you. I trust you. So, Father, we're coming to Debbie, just like those four men came for that paralytic. Alex and I would say hundreds, possibly thousands right now, are praying for Debbie that you would bring some closure, some completeness in her life where she can rejoice in you and communing with you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Debbie, thank you for calling. We're going to try to get one more call in. Linda from Kansas. We don't have a lot of time, Linda, but go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. I've just been burdened by our country, and people just seem like we need to repent so much. And then what President Trump has had to endure, and I just feel a burden that we got to get right. We got to get right with God, and I just am under the, I don't know, I shouldn't be under it, but I feel it.
Okay,
we
Linda.
We got to get ready because Jesus is coming back, and I'm going to let you talk.
Amen. Okay. Listen, the burden is real. The burden that we feel where we are, and if we don't turn around in repentance and for revival, it's a bigger burden. Alex, what would you say as we close out today?
Well, I give the caller a hearty amen. We need revival, and that begins with repentance and prayer and fully turning to God.
Amen. Well, Alex, I know you're on the road. Be safe the rest of the way, okay, brother?
God bless you. And we'll be tomorrow. I won't be on the road. Praise the Lord.
Well, listen, thank everybody for listening to Exploring the Word. Thank Riley Wildman for being on. And check out the foundation, AFA Foundation. Thank you again. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.